we recorded the last episode of Audio Face before the MTV Awards show. It happened.
Yep.
We can talk about it. Oh, you know what's really awkward, John?
Hmm.
I totally forgot to list awards. How about this?
Oh, my.
You know what? We're going to salvage this. We're going to talk about the performances a little bit to kill time while I find out who the award winners are. Because we watched the show.
Oh, my God. We are professionals at this, people.
Hello, humans. Welcome to Audio Face on the Syndicate 23 Network. I'm Dan.
I am Sean.
We are coming to you from the sweltering heat hell that is California.
Yeah,
where it's
this
set
is
to
bad.
Be. It's weird because it's set to be like triple digits both in Southern California and in Northern California. So like, usually it's just like me up in Northern California with our like nice ocean winds. Just like me, like
you're chilling at a good 62 degrees, and I'm over here dying to 90. Now we're both at that 105 mark today. So
yeah. The best two points to make about this is that, like, A, the reason we're talking about the weather is because it's going to be a shorter show, because in order for us to record the best audio content for you, we need to have all the windows closed and all the doors, but both places we're at. And so we're not doing this for 2 hours. With that being said, there is a good amount of news this week. LCD Sound System's new album, American Dream, that drop, we're going to listen to that. Even more reasons why September is going to be fun, and then a very fun segment of Hot Take Island where some people did
crazy.
Some ridiculous things music wise, and it's gonna be fun.
As always,
we'll see if I have to edit the episode or not.
you'll find out. All right.
Yeah. All right. Let's jump right in. First off, super simple, super light. Prince's. We all know about Prince. His favorite color is purple, and he's a musician. And unfortunately, he passed away. Apparently, one of
the greatest musicians out there.
Yeah. Oh yes, and, of course.
But, apparently, his favorite color isn't purple. Supposedly.
Yeah, according to his sister, apparently his favorite color is orange, which makes sense. There's a lot of pictures of him wearing orange things, and
like in the Grammys,
kind of
he did that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Other stuff.
Obviously, not like a huge substantive thing, but like everyone sees Prince as like a super like, oh, purple. That's like Prince's brand, pretty much.
Yeah, that's his
but
thing.
Apparently not, according to his sister. But you never know. The more you know. It's what we try to do. We try to inform you here.
All right.
Anyway, so last week we were recording. The day before the MTV Music Awards. Yeah. And so there are a lot of things that didn't happen. Oh, sorry. Super going back. The reason I was talking about weather, like the second point I was going to add is like, of course, we're Californians complaining about it being too hot when there's literally a hurricane going on, or like a hurricane aftermath going on in Texas. Of course,
yeah,
we're the ones complaining.
Rough.
Because like, of course, it's a California thing. But like, unrelated, but absolutely like thoughts and prayers, et cetera, going out to the people in Houston and in the flooded areas
Donate
of Texas.
Donate to...
Except the Red Cross, anything but that. Or Joel Osteen.
Oh, God. Jesus. He's going to close the doors on you, man. Protect my church.
Joel Osteen, give a man the Houston Rockets arena, and he won't give you shit.
Nope.
Okay, so, last week, the MTV Awards show happened on Sunday night. We recorded Saturday morning. Podcast goes up Sunday morning, etc. So we didn't really get to talk about this, but let's just jump right into the awards, like the big ones. Music Video of the Year, which should be important to MTV, allegedly. Went to Humble for Kendrick Lamar. It's not surprising. The cinematography of that was like really striking.
I mean, get that young golf swing going.
You want to talk about that left stroke of hella went viral, though. Artist of the Year, noted little bitch Ed Sheeran.
Little tour bitch Ed Sheeran. I can't handle Game of Thrones Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, him and the other guy from Arcade Fire just cannot handle Twitter.
No, God, no. The lead singer,
but apparently, Artist of the Year can't handle Twitter. Funny. Best new artist Khaled, not DJ Khaled. This is Khaled. We haven't given him a lot of like talk, but I think he's worth it, because I listened to some of his music, and I was pretty impressed, so...
So the non-shitty version of Khaled. Okay.
Yeah. And then, let's see, Best Hip Hop went to Humble, naturally. Best Dance went to Stay by Zedd and Alicia Cara. And
naturally.
Song of the Summer. XO Tour Life by Lil Uzi Vert.
Oh, fucking A. I hate this place. I'm moving. I'm going home. I'm going back to Germany, guys. Bye. So
shout out to the Goose. Shout out to the Goose.
Shout out to the Goose. The monster producer of 1,000 songs per year.
Well, to be fair, it was the best pop song was Down by Fifth Harmony featuring the Goose. So, like, I still want to give the Goose a shout out there.
Goose is everywhere, man. Like, yeah. The dude's a cyborg. He's not a human. Not enough hours in the day or in a jail cell in order to produce as much content as he has. Jesus Christ. Yeah. There's, like, three Gooses out there.
It's just like three.
It's not just one. There's like three always Gooses going somewhere.
There's three Gooses. It's always. Yep. it's like the Waffle House. It's always open. There's always three Gooses.
There's always three Gooses, man.
Anyway, so yeah, the awards, those went pretty well, pretty as expected. And then there were some pretty, like, nice performances. Lorde did a performance for Dynamite that was, by the way, like, A, it was phenomenal. B, she didn't really do much singing. It was a lot of choreography. But C, give her a break because apparently she had the flu.
Oh, that makes sense. So she, like, kind of couldn't. No, yeah. Okay. So that makes sense. When it's I can't really sing because I might die if I try it. So, okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure if she didn't sing because of the flu. But, yeah, it wasn't really singing, and she was just, like, doing this backup dance. And I really loved how, like, again, Lorde just doesn't give a fuck, and I love it. Like,
yeah, she
really it's not perfect coordination dancing. It's not, like, the typical, like, oh, this is what a pop star is going to do as a dance. Like, a nice, simple dance routine where she genuinely looked like she was having fun for someone who was, like, dancing on, like, live TV in front of, like, millions of people with the flu. So, like, I shout out to Lorde on that. That was really good.
Right. It's interesting.
Yeah. What were you going
to say? It was kind of cool. Different. When I first saw it, I go, what the hell? And then it makes sense, but she's sick. I go, okay, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Because that, yeah, when you're sick like that, you just, your vocal cords physically can't move at points. You go, well, I got to do something apparently, but I can't. So.
Yeah. I'm impressed and surprised that Lorde didn't, like, even cancel, because I know a lot of artists probably would have canceled. And
oh, easily.
It's the MTV Music Awards. They could have either, like, cut that part entirely or had one of the other many artists who were there, like, do something for, like, that slot instead. But no.
Right.
Stuck it out, so I love that about her, and it was a great performance.
For sure.
Next, Kendrick. If you've seen Kendrick live or, like, seen the live performances, this was pretty, like, similar.
Standard,
but
yeah,
but this time he got to use this, like, so in Kendrick's live performances to support Damn, there's a lot of, like, ninja 70s, like, action movie, like, themes around it. But for the MTV Music Award for performance, they had the ninjas, like, climbing up this, like, fire wall.
Literally. Did they have Bushido Brown there or what?
From the Kumite. Whoop-ow! Don't sleep.
Yeah, Kumite. Kumata, kumata.
Apparently, it's something that, like, the firewall is something that they wanted to do for the entire tour, but the fucking insurance company decided, yeah, we're not going to insure a firewall for, like, 60 different shows sold out in arenas for ninjas to, like, climb up and down constantly. But apparently MTV will do it once, so that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, you get it once, you can watch it on YouTube. You know, same thing as being live, right?
Oh, God. And then Miley Cyrus performed. I don't really give a shit.
Damn.
Like, hot, don't give a shit. Taylor Swift performed. Or, like, I don't know if Taylor Swift performed. I really don't care, even to check. But the full video dropped for Taylor Swift's Look What You Made Me Do song that we talked about for far too long last time. And so there's not really much to go into that. It's just the music video, just to, like, add to that like, coverage we did, is just, like, different versions of Taylor Swift. Like, there's one that's a celebrity that's just in a car accident. There's, like, imagery. There's, of course, like, there's a typical pop star Jesus imagery that she goes with. Like, it's just, it's no better than what we expected when we saw the teaser.
Yeah, pretty much.
It was
not much.
yeah, it was horrible. I hate the song even more now that I've listened to it twice. I'm really not going to listen to it again. I haven't decided whether we're going to review Taylor Swift's album when it comes out or not. I feel like we should. I just really don't want to.
I guess, I mean, we'll have to. We did DJ Khaled, so I guess we have to do Taylor Swift as well. So then we can rant about the music industry and how shit it is, so, you know.
At least we'll have some fun takes about it, and at least we'll have some more fodder for the Audio Face End of the Year Awards, the only award show that matters, where I think Kanye will be performing.
Right.
We gotta hit him up again. He hasn't gotten back to my emails. He's probably still in Wyoming, or maybe in Japan. I don't know.
Hmm.
Maybe he's about to drop a mixtape with Kim Jong-un at this point. I'm not sure. Welcome to 2017. But
yeah.
And anyways, then, lastly, because no politics.
Super no politics, but, you know.
So, at the VMAs, Miley Yiannopoulos, this, like, alt-right guy, I really don't want to go into it, but, like, if I could, the reason he's, like, has any attention or name to himself is because he's a provocateur who says...
He's a fucking professional troll. That's all he does.
That's totally right. Like, yeah, he's a professional troll. And he goes to college campuses and, like, pushes the boundaries of free speech.
Says some random weird shit that I assume he doesn't even believe in.
Usually... Like, he totally doesn't believe in it. Like, I've listened to interviews with him. He doesn't believe in it. But, basically just trying to... I mean, like, if I'll be real, like, victimizing at times, terrorizing students of color, students
right.
from the, like, LGBTQ community, all these things, etc. All right, but like, let's try not to talk about it anymore. But anyways, he showed up at the MTV Awards, which was very like simple and like interesting. According to a report by Mike, MTV did not invite him, and it's especially interesting because MTV went for this whole like inclusive sort of semi-implied resistance sort of message this year for like there's an increased take on like political advocacy and like all those different aspects like, oh, we're the music industry and we're woke, trademark. It's like it's corporate woke is what like the MTV Music Awards kind of was. It was a display of corporate wokeness. And so it's very interesting to have Miley Yiannopoulos there, but yeah, he was just there to troll. And I don't get why do we bother with him anymore?
Oh, well. At least, yeah, he didn't pull a Kanye, run up stage and steal some shit from people. So, give him that.
Yeah, like, they gave... This guy said so many, like, very, like, I guess, like, harsh things towards, like, transgender people. And they had transgender service members at the MTV Music Awards who were being honored. So, like, MTV's message flies in the face of the reason Milo was there. He's just, like, out there to get some attention. And I almost feel bad for giving that amount of attention. But, I mean, it's fair to just, like, show that, hey, I guess Taylor Swift wasn't the most hated person at the VMAs.
Wow. Yeah, pretty much.
All right. VMA talk over. I am so glad. Let's get into the good, shall we?
So, young Sam Smith, English artist, teased a little poster saying September 8th with a Spotify logo on his Instagram that I saw yesterday morning.
And there are billboards going up around in the UK, I believe, with, like, Sam
Smith. And then there's stuff here in LA, too.
Really?
And, yeah, a couple posters. So it'd be really cool just to see what it is, because, damn, he made good shit. His last album, it was already 3 years ago that In the Lonely Hour came out.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he kind of, like, transferred his life, too, after that, you know? Really started working out heavy and just started just being a bit healthier because he was really depressed with the album and stuff, you know, because it's all about a breakup and whatnot. And now he's like very happily in a relationship and chilling out and, you know, one of the biggest artists in the world now. And it's pretty cool. I really like the guy. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah, really interested to hear. We'll give a full review on whatever thing he does, whatever happens in the next 6 days, which, yeah, will happen next podcast.
That'll be fun. So whatever Sam Smith comes out, because thank God this is going to be on Spotify this time for the people.
Right?
None of that, Apple Music exclusivity title bullshit. Like,
nah, Sam Smith isn't about that. He's probably socialist. He probably voted Labour, you know? He's trying to get out.
You heard it here first. Sam Smith votes Labour. apparently. But yeah,
really looking forward to
like,
that.
Just to catch the one thing you missed, he tweeted this like little like note letter thing where like who's basically saying thank you for like letting me have this like little break to do my music. I've missed performing, etc., etc. I'm about to release some shit soon. So yeah, I don't know if this is an album. I'm not sure if this is like an EP, but yeah, whatever it is, we'll be listening to it. Sam Smith's done like has like an amazing set of pipes. Like that's great. Like his vocals are really like stunning. And even though the Disclosure collaboration Latch was way overplayed and what was the Omen?
And then Omen was really good.
Both songs were very good. I hate that they were like so tragically overplayed and then like
Omen wasn't too much. Latch was super overplayed. Yeah. Omen wasn't, and that's kind of how he got discovered and then released his album the following year in 2014 and then just kind of took off. I really like that.
I would love to see some type of like Disclosure collaboration on an album Sam Smith does or maybe even an EP. I want to hope it's an album just because it's been so long, but I mean, you know.
Because it's been a while. So knowing him would probably be an album because he it's been a little while since he's performed and everything and you could tell that's like his favorite thing. So it'll be really looking forward to that.
Cannot wait for that. Go ahead.
Going to the meat and potatoes, which is Caesar's favorite term in the world, from the
We Caesar Made from. It
podcast on the Syndicate 23 network for all of Hemp your football or soccer talk.
Hold on, just like real talk, like really fast. Yeah, we're gonna like plug We Made It podcast on the Syndicate 23 network really fast. But also, I've been able to. So I'm like. Syndicate 23 is, like, a project that I created of this, like, network, and, like, the trial period or so were, like, 3 months. We were, like, getting our things together, but, like, we were going over some of, like, the metrics and the numbers behind the scenes, and, like, we are growing so well and so good, and I'm so happy that, like, there's an audience out there that, like, really supports this stuff, really loves it, that's, like, not only...
Actually
like,
listens to our shit, yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm still looking into, like, the crossover, like, if there's any crossover between the two podcasts, per se. It's really hard to tell. Podcast metrics are, like, all over the place, right? But the fact that, like, there are people who are interested in this network featuring a music podcast and a soccer podcast, two totally different things, two totally different styles, it's just, like, so fascinating, and, like, thank you all who are listening to, like, helping support that growth, and, like, it's super helpful, like, morale-wise to, like, do this, because, like, live, it's just, like, talking to like a computer basically and recording that and then stitching it together and uploading it, like sending it up with the message in a bottle. It can definitely feel that way, but like to know people are actively listening and more people are listening, like to an almost exponential like kind of way, is just awesome. So yeah, really fast, super sappy, but thank y'all.
Yeah, thank everybody for listening to us idiots ramble on about our passion. If we could work in music, we would. Like, that would be our thing.
Like, yeah, if we were Gucci Mane and we had, like, three versions of ourselves, like, we'd have, like, you'd have the triathlete one, and then, like, you and I would have the musician one, we'd be doing that together, and then, like, I'd have my old, like, you know, fake news job, and then all that stuff, right?
And then so. And then the other Sean would be in a rocket in Mars or some shit, you know?
That'd be Sean. Space Sean. Anyways, So yeah, listen to the We Made It podcast on Syndicate 23 Network because soccer season is in full swing, full kick.
Full swing, full gas. It's going nuts. You got World Cup qualifiers this week and Germany being weird but winning last minute yesterday and other stuff. So
And if you listen to the last episode, there's a little history lesson on the Irish nationalist movement.
Right.
I promise it's related to soccer.
Hey, my name is Gaelic for John, so, you know, don't sleep. even though I'm mainly German, but whatever. Thanks, Mom.
All right, let's get into LCD Sound System. So they have a new album.
Yeah. American my God, Dream. I got takes.
So let me just set it up. LCD Sound System had broken up. They announced that they were coming back together. This is their first album in 7 years. It's called American Dream. They had released they released a couple singles leading up to it. You know the rule of the Audio Phase podcast in that if a album gets announced and the singles, like, there's singles that come to it, we're only going to maybe pay attention to the first single because everything else is just noise until the album comes out.
Yeah, exactly. The first single, because then usually it waits like 3 months until album release, and that's exactly what happened with this. So,
And so that's always American, American Dream and Call the Police were the singles from this, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, they're both very different songs. They're songs 8 and 7 respectively on the albums. So they're like right next to each other. It's very interesting because those songs are both very different. It still followed the like LCD Sound System style of longer songs, kind of just like progressive rock dance kind of thing.
Right.
And so, given all that context, Sean, how was your listen? What did you think about it?
Oh, wow. So, I don't even know what to describe LCD Sound System. When people ask me that, I say it's like electronic alternative rock in a really weird way. Because, you know, they had Daft Punk was playing at my house, which is like a rock song, and then they had other things that are almost like house beats and stuff. So they're super eclectic with what they do, and I kind of like that. Yeah. And going into this, I only listened to the two singles basically twice. So I didn't listen to much because I was really, really wanted to wait and see what they did. And I was actually driving home from class, and they on NPR or whatnot at night, it becomes, you know, music stuff, and they played Oh Baby, which is the opening track for LCD Sound System, because the album dropped as I was coming back home from class at night. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, wait, is this LCD Sound System? And I like, and they said, yeah, new. They said, oh, this is from a new album. I go, holy crap, that's a good song. Yeah, the opening track is fantastic. Really, really, like, ambient electronic stuff, and with a big crescendo in the middle. Fantastic opening track. I've been, like, listening to it on repeat the past 2 days, because it's, like, insanely good.
It's great, and it's a good opening track that, like, really...
Oh, my God. That's one like, of my really favorite opening... Off well. Yeah, it's one of my favorite opening tracks in a long time, where it just sets up the entire album, you know? The whole album, pretty much, honestly, is good. As I like them where they keep the album short, you know, like with Queens of the Stone Age, what they did. Keep it short, but the songs are long. But the track list is short, but the songs are long. Like, the last song, Black Screen, is 12 minutes long, so it's almost like a Cigarettes type.
And other voices is good. LCD Sound System has been like a lot like that. Like, they're always the kind of band.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to compare them to Cigarettes per se, but as far as what you can expect out of an LCD Sound System song, you're talking like median 6-7 minutes.
Pretty much. I mean, I think the bulk standard is like 5:30 to 6 is what they usually do, and I like that because to me it gives you enough time to build up a song and make it really, really great. Call the Police is a fantastic song too. Rock song, kind of like an indie punk rock song, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Emotional Haircut is cool. Almost sounded like Infinite Content from
Arcade Fire.
Arcade Fire. I was going to say Vampire Weekend for some reason because they both have weird names. But yeah, Arcade Fire. It sounded like Arcade Fire song at first, but then it was a little bit better. American Dream is good too. Probably the only song I didn't fully like, I guess, was the weakest song would be American Dream, in my opinion.
Which one?
American Dream. I didn't like it too much. Like,
yeah.
I didn't like it too much. But the rest, fantastic. Like, this is a solid album. Oh Baby, oh my God, that's a good, really, really, really good track. Like, when we do our podcast awards or music awards later on in the year, that song's gonna be somewhere on there for sure. Because Jesus, I want to listen to it right now, but I can't.
Best opening.
It's that good.
Yeah, that's the sucky thing about the fact that we're recording remotely is that one ear always has to be preoccupied by me.
Yep.
So you can't just do both without, like, totally screwing with your head.
No, I would... my brain would go zub-zub. Unfortunately, I'm not the goose and have three versions of myself, and I can't just listen to it and then talk at the same time. Can't do that. But yeah, I am very, very happy with this album. And I've been reading some articles and stuff from LCD Sound System, like the lead singer and whatnot, has been went through a lot of shit, and it's cool to see that. Yeah, very, very, very good album. Happy with it. Kind of worth the wait in a way. So, yeah. What's your take, if you have any on it?
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said. Oh Baby was a pretty good song, although, if I'm being honest, I didn't find it amazing, per se. But I will... I'll just continue. Yeah. I really did like Other Voices, actually, the song directly after that.
It's a good song. Very good song.
How Do You Sleep was also a favorite. Emotional mm-hmm. Haircut definitely stuck out to me as a good song. And, yeah, Call the Police. I liked that a lot more than I liked American Dream, which is why when the two singles came out originally, I was very mixed because...
Right.
American Dream was not a song I particularly liked, although I like it more in the context of the album. Because, like, as I've said many times,
yeah.
like, I really have to think of a song as far as its place in the album to really judge it. American Dream is a single. I'm not sure what they did there, LCD Sound System. But in the album...
It's kind of a weird song to put as a single, yeah.
Yeah, in the album, in the album, it plays, like, it paces everything very well, and I would be very, like... The album wouldn't flow as well near the end if American Dream wasn't there. So I'll give it that.
Okay, yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. What other... So, I compare, like, LCD Sound System along with Hot Chip, or, like, groups I used to listen to in the early 2000s because, like, it was basically, like, dance as far as, like, the construction of the song and, like, what you're supposed to expect from it because it's, like, very long. It's very, like, kind of repetitive. Almost
yeah.
Has kind of a progressive kind of thing to it, but not a heavy reliance on electronics. It tends to be a lot more like alternative to rock to like yeah even punk and instrumentation. Like Call the Police, I could have been listening to a Police song almost at times, right? But
yeah, it's very punky. Yeah,
I love that. But I've always been kind of like. I like LCD Sound System, but, like, a very weak, not passionate like. Like, on those surveys, when they want you to rank on a scale of 1 to 10, like, 1 being extremely dissatisfied and 10 being extremely satisfied, how you feel about something, and you never want to be too committal, so you always put, like, I'm, like, somewhat satisfied or, like, somewhat dissatisfied.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you don't want to be, like, strong opinions, right? I just don't have strong, like, opinions for LCD Sound System. I like them. I dig them a little bit more than I dig other bands. I listen to more LCD Sound System music than a lot of other songs, but or a lot of other bands. But that being said, with all those caveats, the thing that I've always kind of had a issue with LCD Sound System is kind of that they're a victim to their format. That the songs can sometimes drag on a little bit too long, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But the song, like, they can be a little repetitive, in my opinion. And like I said, that's because of the genre they're kind of making for themselves. It's going to end up like that. That's kind of like comes with the terms. But I don't like it when I'm listening to a song where, okay, when's this going to be over?
Right.
And I felt that a little bit with this album, with certain songs, especially like I used to. And even Emotional Haircut to an extent. Because like the lead singer of LCD Sound System, his like stream of consciousness droning on lyrics are like, kind of cool and all right, and, like, it's chill, but, like, it's definitely a style that gets old kind of quickly and could use a little bit of breaking up, but that's, like, a lot of what LCD Sound System is and what this album is. And so, like...
Right.
Overall, it's... LCD Sound System is back, good and bad. I think this is, like, a great return album, but the problems I had with LCD Sound System are still, like, kind of there, which makes me, like... If I go back to that, like, 1 to 10 kind of thing, I would give this album, like, an honest, like, 7. Like, a solid 7. Definitely a great album.
Yeah.
I love LCD Sound System, but, like, the same problems are still there. Conversely, the same great things are still there. So, like,
yeah.
The things I love about LCD Sound System are still here. And so, if you liked them, like, a decade ago, back when they were, like, a lot more active, or even a decade and a half ago, then you're going to come into this and you'll feel right at home.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Mine's like 8.5 to 9 because you know me, I like Lon songs because obviously
right.
my second favorite band is Sigur Rós, which I'm used to Lon songs like that, and I like it. But you have to really like and enjoy that stuff, or else you can very quickly get annoyed of it, and I get that. But yeah, it's kind of right up my alleyway. Where yeah, perfect for me for sure, but not for everybody.
I would have easily boosted the album to an 8 if they included... there's a bonus song the LCD Sound System released called Pulse Version 1. That's like this 14-minute instrumental that didn't appear on the album. That song is great. That song
it
is
sounds
so
cool.
good.
It sounds really cool. It's like... It's either Radiohead did... damn, what's that song called? Ill Wind on a Moon-Shaped Pool. Like, when they released that with the special edition... Race of a Moon-Shaped Pool is like, artist put everything on an album or make a disc too, like they did within Rainbows. Like, I want all of your content, damn it.
Yeah.
But don't be the goose. Don't have, like, infinite content. You want, like...
the Goose and Arcade Fire's collaboration.
Oh, God, no. This is,
Gucci
this
made an Arcade Fire featuring DJ Khaled and Major Lazer. Oh.
I think I'd have to move to Mars at that point. Oh, fuck that. I gotta go to Hoth or some shit. Like, a made-up planet of snow or something. I don't know.
Head over to Xenu with them young Scientologists.
Ooh, man. But I have to talk to, like, Xenu and, like, spend, like, $1.5 million or some shit to find out where he lives. Which then they'll tell me, oh, he used to live here, but he moved to, like, an apartment complex down the street.
Oh, we can tell you for a nominal fee.
Right? And then you won't ever pay taxes because, you know, ooh.
Church.
Oof. Church.
How many people are the Scientologists helping out in Houston? Just quick question. Answer, more than Joel Osteen.
Probably.
But, LCD sound system. No, hashtag no religion.
LCD sound system. I like that.
Back to that. Yeah, I'm really upset that the instrumental is not American Dream because, again, it could have been one of those things that you add that to the album and, like, it makes the piece different. Because I think with when you have a longer song on an album, I think what I'm finding is that that song can, like, it holds more weight in the album itself. Because it can dictate so much of the mood, because kind of like what you were saying, there's so much of a canvas there to work with.
Right. I like it. But I recommend the album, though. Have a listen, please. It's good.
Oh, yeah, definitely, like, a good album. It's definitely worth a listen. Definitely worth more of a listen than some of the other shit we've talked about today.
Jesus Christ, yes.
And we'll talk about in the future. But, yeah, off from that and on to, like, ongoing things. Couple of quick hits right here. The composer for The Simpsons, Alf Clausen, who's been there for, like, 27 seasons of the show that really should have been canceled, like, 20 seasons ago.
Right.
Yeah, so he's being fired by Fox. The reason being is because, like, he has a 35-piece orchestra that, like, works for The Simpsons, and, like, imagine all those instruments and all those equipment and the fact that they're making Simpsons episodes and, like, actually pumping out content every single year, like, mad to show weekly on Fox. So they gotta do, like, a lot of production, and it's really costly. Apparently, like...
God, yes.
Apparently the orchestra itself and the maintenance of all that is in the millions of dollars. So...
Yeah, easily.
Yeah, I guess Fox, in trying to cut costs, because, you know, Fox is running out of money, which they're not, I guess they're making really that not. Cut. It's like a interesting story of, like, music and culture, because The Simpsons does have, like, a interesting musical background, like, a root in music. There's been very close-knit to the orchestra that's, like, held the band together. Composure of the music has been a big part of The Simpsons for a while, so it's kind of sad to see that go and kind of be, like, artificially replaced by the stupid little, like, dum-da-dum-da-dum hums that, like, separate other shows.
Which,
like,
Family Guy. A lot of shows do that and shit.
So, it's a sitcom thing.
Yeah, it is a sitcom thing. You put that in the rundown, and I was kind of really odd, and I read it, and I go, okay, I see why you put it in here. Yeah, it's interesting to see, because, yeah, full orchestra is incredibly expensive to have and to keep going on.
Yeah.
That's always a problem with a lot of, you know, like, philharmonics out there and classical music, is it's expensive as shit to put on. Because the musicians are top-of-the-world musicians, they have to get paid, plus the instruments themselves are, you know, in the thousands of dollars, because they're handmade or very, very old, depending what pieces you're playing. And I think that's a whole thing with classical in general, too, that something, I don't know, has to change or whatnot, but it's kind of a big problem in that scene. And I know it a lot because I'm a huge lover of classical music, so I'm in that world. I know it. And it's kind of sad to see that with the entire orchestra and whatnot for The Simpsons. I mean, it's kind of cool. I mean, they've had a long-ass run, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah, but, 27 years. Like, that's
pretty good.
That's a career.
I mean, God damn. Yeah, career and a half, especially for a musician, man. That's awesome.
I mean, it's kind of just, like, really fast to touch on the classical music aspect of it. It's, like, a sad fact that music is getting cheaper and cheaper to produce, and they're lower and lower returns on investment for the music you produce, because like musicians are making less and less. You can't buy most of these instruments, you can't just stroll down a Guitar Center and buy. Of these musicians, you can't just like go to an open mic and like find out who plays the double bass really well. Like, you've got to get these people who are really well trained, and they're going to want to be paid nicely enough so that they can do that and also like live in the like major metropolitan areas that they're in. Like, like the San Francisco Philharmonic. Hey, guess what? That like violinist has to live in San Francisco or like around that area.
Yeah, they are world class musicians. It's second to none. You know, being a learning proper piano is, you know, I have a deep appreciation for this. I mean, getting a goddamn Steinway piano is $120,000. You know, and the sound is second to none. It's just the instruments and the musicians, it's incredibly expensive. But when pulled off right, you know, it sounds great. I would love to have a lengthy discussion actually sometime.
We should do that. Music. Like, we should the really future of classical music. Like, that would be.
Because I have big takes on that. Because I think more and more people can get into it when they really get to know the pieces that the composers wrote. And yeah, I mean, I want to have a really lengthy discussion on that. So yeah, we can do that sometime.
I would love to have that.
Because I know so much with it. I mean, I listen to half eclectic, weird, experimental, alternative, indie, electronic, house, some rap, whatever. And then the other half is classical, pretty much. Like, that's my two things. If you go on my Spotify history list, that's what you see. So, yeah, love to do that. And also, I like to have more people kind of get into classical as well. So,
yeah.
All right.
Definitely can have that conversation later.
That's a conversation for another day, because we don't want to be sitting here for 3 hours. We could very easily do that. It's hot as hell, and we've got many things to do. So,
I don't know if
anyways.
You can tell, there's like a fire truck behind me, because they're like probably the first like heat stroke going out.
Right.
Let's let this scoot away and let me kill time while we move on to the next thing. By the way, I moved around like one thing in the rundown, like this happening right now, but
I see that
this right is now. Kind of related, just because I felt like it goes in really well. So there's this iconic New York recording studio, it's sometimes called Avatar, but it's also called Power Station.
Right.
David Bowie, Madonna, Bruce Springsteen, John Bon Jovi, like there's
Bob Dylan,
so
Clash.
Many
just
there's so much history going on. Yeah, Bob Dylan, so many fucking The Clash, holy shit, there's so much history going on at this recording studio, but it is being shut down. Fear not though, it was bought by the Berklee College of Music over on the East Coast, so it's likely in good hands. Berklee College of Music is kind of spitting out some of the best classical and contemporary musicians in the country.
They really are. That's fun. Ironically, they try to recruit me.
Really?
Yeah.
They tried to recruit me too, actually. I forgot about that.
Because I was really confused on who the hell I were, because it was Berklee with two E's instead of a Y. I'm like, what? I thought it was like some kind of bullshit thing. I looked into it, go, oh, whoa.
So that's an East Coast, West Coast thing, because on the East Coast,
everyone really
knows Berklee
actually
as the Berklee College of Music. On the West Coast, everyone knows Berklee as like UC Berklee.
UC Berklee.
So, and like there's a different spelling. One ends with a Y. One, like the music school ends with two E's, and like my Berklee ends with a Y. Like there's a couple differences there. Also, the Berklee, like UC Berklee School of Music. I'll quote one of my professors. At Berklee, music is to be seen and not heard.
Yeah, I was about to say your guys. You're not known for
music.
We're
more theoretical. We're theoretical. As opposed to performance. Anyways.
Oh my god, I see that Steinway in the background of the picture on Katsukota's Town. God damn, that's a gorgeous piano. I want to play it.
Yeah.
One day.
I'll see if I can include the picture in the rundown.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, in the notes. But it's estimated to have been worth $23 to $28 million, and it's looking like the Berklee College of Music is going to continue to use it either like as a historical sort of like thing they have, like little museum, or what I'm much more excited for, to be able to record like live bands or
Oh wow, yeah. It says that artists
to record groups,
to rent
like
the
choirs.
Room or Berklee students. That's awesome. Also for the Broadway community, so you know, young Lauren can go in and go to that recording studio. It would be cool. I like that, because now if that all works out, it gives students access to it, because that's one hard thing to get access to is a professional, you know, highly rated music studio, because
you have to know someone.
It's so expensive to rent. It's so hard to obtain all of the equipment. You have to have a sound guy mixing it and knows what he's doing in order to make it sound right. Yeah, and it's, you have to know
people good music to get in. Good music ain't cheap to produce. Like, it costs money.
Really
it costs labor, even. Like,
yeah.
People have to know what they're doing. People have to get degrees to, like, understand how all this shit works. I mean, like, they don't, because, like, the music industry is kind of changing, but, like, to really do it well and, like, right, I mean, like, no, I'll take that back. You still do, because, yeah, there's a lot of people who are, like, creating demos and things on their laptop, but, like, once they get big, they're in recording studios. They have people pushing the buttons for them, and those folks are still there, so.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm very glad, like, as you said, like, I had a really positive reaction to it. They're really, like, trying to make sure they preserve this as a useful place that is accessible. So that, like, hopefully more great music can come out of this place in the future.
Right.
So we can probably move on to the next thing. So a little bit of update on Chester Bennington, the frontman of Linkin Park, who unfortunately died due to suicide. His family is setting up a new charity for people who might be struggling with, like, suicidal thoughts or ideas, like, in the wake of his death or in general. It says, like, it's for, like, Linkin Park fans, but, like, you don't really know who's a fan, who is a fan, per se, if you're helping them. And I doubt they're turning away people who, like, don't admit they're Linkin Park fans. I don't think they're, like, they're checking for that, but I just think it's just, like, super cool to follow up on this of, like, okay, of course these deaths that have happened are very tragic, but what do you do after that? What kind of impact do you have on the world once you come out of that? And I think it's very important to have these, I mean, because there have been suicide hotlines forever, and, like, people know about these things more or less.
But yeah, but they're not, like, super talked about yet. Like, a little bit, but still even hush-hushed a little bit, you know? There's still that kind of stigma out there about it. But now it's seemingly more, it's more getting out to the word that, hey, this is a real thing. Like, Dave Grohl coming out and saying, hey, people, listen. This is a thing. You need to really talk about it. And unfortunately, it seems that, you know, his suicide it's taken that to really get a lot of people on board, a lot of big celebrities and music artists to really jump on and get it out to the general public. Like, hey, this is a terrible thing that everybody needs to listen to, you know, and... Yeah, I'm glad that's finally happening. It took too long, honestly.
Yeah,
and
of course.
I think a lot more people could be saved, but that's always going to be happening. But it's good now that people are talking about it and whatnot. I mean, that's, as I was saying earlier with LCD Sound System, the lead singer is going through some shit. He was going through reigns of depression and other things, but he ended up talking with some people and whatnot and getting over it and recording the album. So...
Yeah.
It's saying, hey, look, more and more people aren't afraid of showing, hey, I'm a homo sapien, I'm a human. I have emotions. Everybody does. Everybody's brain is different. Some can't handle things like others can, and vice versa. It's, you know, the brain is so insanely complicated compared to
and very like
anything
varying,
really,
like,
it's super varying with environmental aspects and how you're raised, where you live, you know, what you've had to do, what you've had to overcome, if you are abused as a child or as a young adult, whatever, or you're in an abusive relationship. I mean, it's just, it goes on and on. It's just the psychology of it. And I'm very happy now it's starting to get out there, you know, because I see it more and more with people I know too, you know. Like, you're a prime example of stuff that's gone on earlier in your life, but you've overcome it. You know, you're never afraid to tell me what's been going on, and like, okay, cool. And I don't judge, because I've gone through stuff like that too, as I used to stammer as a kid, and I could barely talk to people out in the public unless you're a close family and stuff. And
which is, like, a different struggle to, like, having a background that, like, involves a lot of, like, abuse as a child, for example.
Right.
Like, all these different struggles, it's hard to, like, quantitate them, and, like, the fact is, like, it affects people of all walks of life, and...
For sure.
That's why I'm glad for initiatives like this, because it's saying that, like, hey, let's have this conversation as musicians, or like, let's have this conversation in any other realm of talk. Like, let's have this conversation in journalism. There's a conversation about journalism and its effects on like mental illness and mental health, like being a journalist. Like, we talk about being an athlete and the effects of that. Like, having these dialogue, not only in like places that have to talk about like mental health, but like talking about mental health in sports, talking about mental health in news, talking about mental health in other places and music. That's how you really get the message out there, by applying it to the rest of life, because you can't divorce
normal walks of life. Yeah, and I'm happy it's really starting to get out into the social norms, you know, where it's getting widely accepted. There's still always going to be a stigma against it, I think, because you still have that tough guy mentality. But it's more and more people are like, whoa, even some tough guys have, you know, you've break down, and just that's what happens. So it's good. It's a step in the right direction. I'm happy that that the Bennington family are starting to have that charity. I'm really glad, and I'm more and more people are really taking to the ropes of that. So
yeah, I'd love to see more of that too, everywhere.
Yes, please. I want to just keep it going.
Are you ready? All right. Welcome to Hot Take Island.
Oh God, here we go.
So here's the thing: we have shows just about over. Thanks for making it with us. But we have a couple of really absurd, ridiculous stories that I just want to like out. And we have this operating rule. We might bring this segment back just because it's kind of fun. But the rules of Hot Take Island are: say as much as you can. You lose if I have to edit it.
Yep.
So these are ridiculous things. We're gonna make fun of them, and it's gonna be fun.
All right. Want me to go first?
Or do you want? I'll set up, because I think I can explain this the best, because I pitched it originally, and then we'll go to the races. All right. So
have at it.
Number one, we were talking about especially last week on our like jam packed episode of Audio Face, we ended up cutting this band from the rundown because it was a combination of like, we're not super into them that much. They are making headlines, but like, yes, they have new music, but there's just so much going on. We don't have enough time. Sad day. And then I thought about like returning to that list and covering some of those things this week, and this band was on here, and then I decided, no, these people are fucking ridiculous. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about the OCs. Geez. Except I'm not talking about the OCs. I'm talking about OCs. Except I'm not talking about OCs. I'm talking about OCS, or OCs. Their new name, which was, by the way, their original name. Let me explain.
Fucking A.
So, this is... Okay, first off, branding fail.
Super it's branding like, fail.
It's like if I change the number in Syndicate 23 for every podcast.
Right? It's like Syndicate 28, Syndicate 44,
welcome Syndicate to the Syndicate 77. Network.
Well, let's welcome to the Syndicate 7 Network. Whoops. We're 7 now?
Wouldn't that be tragic if like the number just starts slowly going down?
Syndicate negative 8. It's like we owe money now, apparently.
Syndicate log.
Syndicate sign of negative 1. Keep going. I have to figure out what I'm going to say without holding my tongue.
All right. Yeah. I'll keep going because I need to. Oh God. Okay. So, in 1997 and 2003, they were called the Orinoco Crash Suite. Okay, that's fine. Stands for OCS. And then from 2003 to 2005, they went by OCS. And then in 2005, they called themselves Orange County Sound. Let me remind you, they're from San Francisco. And then in 2006, they called themselves the OCs, spelled O-H-S-E-E-S. And then in 2006, 2008, they called themselves the OCs. So it's OCs the way I spelled it last time, but O-H and then Cs are separate. And then they went to the OCs from 2008 to 2017. And you're wondering, oh, how is that different from the other two I just mentioned? Because this time, the has two E's. And then, in 2017, to announce the album they had just come out with, Orc was the album they came out with last week. They changed it to OCs. And so I read that, and I'm like, okay, that's a lot, but I think you've come upon something that's like, okay, you've nailed it. It's short, it's sweet, it's to the point, but you're there. And then we find out that they've changed their name back again. I'm so fucking done.
I don't even want to talk about this because it pisses me off, because fucking hipsters like to do this and be weird and say, oh, look, I'm different, I'm going to change my name. No, you just did the same renderation of just different words and make it sound the goddamn same. You're so freaking stupid. OCs, okay, cool. And then the OCs, okay, what are you, the Ohio State? What the hell, are you a freaking football team? And then Orc, your goddamn go whale. Guys. You go for it, right? And then they're Orc, what are you, a bike company or a whale?
Straight fucking
and then,
whale.
And then OCS, it's like detention in Stanford Middle School across the street. Holla at your boy, Leon Hawks.
Don't
gotta get a pinks. You gotta go get a pink slip and go to young OCS, and then you gotta go the OCs or OCs. What are you doing? F*** yourself, man.
I'm sorry to interrupt you while you're coming in so hot, but like...
God, stop!
OCS, like, it used to stand for on-campus suspension when I was a kid, and that's when the school was like too broke to actually suspend you because they had to keep a quota of kids coming, so they actually...
Oh my god, that's true.
So they would send you to a... so they would... Because public schools are trifling. So we'd go to like an extra room, like the most rundown room on campus that they wouldn't have classes in, but they still have the room there.
Looked like a 1952 asylum or something, you know? It's like, they probably did experiments on kids in here. They try to turn them from left-handed to right-handed in these classrooms, man.
This is the part of the campus where they had black and white water fountains. It was pretty old.
Oh God.
Ooh. And yeah, you were there for, like, half the time. But these people need that fucking suspension time. It's like, I've been telling you there's this problem when you give white kids, like, white boys drugs and then give them guitars and tell them they can do anything you want. You get this shit. So, like, this, like, garage psychedelic shit that they're on, it's, A, it's kind of shitty. B, like, the lead singer looks like a gender with a shitty bowl cut who gets a tattoo every time he breaks up with a girl.
Right?
Like, there's a person I can talk about that I really don't want to mention on the podcast. Supplements! And, yeah, he reminds me of this person. He's very much...
Yeah, I know exactly the person you're talking about. We will never, ever, ever give that thing a shout-out in our lifetime, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Basically, we'll put it like this. Losers end up getting older. And they end up doing shit for a living and wasting their, like... parents' time.
Taxpayers.
And money. And that is the OCs, this, like, flaming pile of garbage. Next take?
Next take. Will Smith and DJ Jazzy.
So Will Smith Jeff. And DJ Jazzy Jeff are back. Will Smith, as you know. And they're apparently working on another album that they did. It's the first time they've appeared together. They did a live performance at Blackpool's Livewire Festival. It was the first performance they've done together since 2005. And they're working on a new sound. They got a new sound. And you know, we love on Audioface. We love talking about, hey, if an artist comes back and they spent a little while away from the game and they come back and have a new sound, you know what? More power to them. It's great, right?
It's great. Yeah, I like that usually. Unless it's have a take, then, don't suck. They sucked.
Wait. Will Smith and DJ Jazzy's Jeff are listening to Audioface because in one song, they did everything wrong.
They really did.
Wrong. How do we break this down? I'll say the best for last. It's an electronic music song. It's EDM, but it's also rap. Like, I'll put it like this. Will Smith has fewer bars than a burning Confederate flag.
That's not good.
Like, Will Smith really not good. Cannot rap. Like, I mean, Jazzy, like, you know what'd be funny? Will Smith and a Kendrick Lamar rap off. Just because it'd be like...
Oh, God. It would be better to be Lil Uzi Vert skirt man versus Will Smith.
I know mumble rappers who have better bars than Will Smith at this point. Like, please go back to being Hancock for something. I don't know.
We Made It has better bars than Will Smith, for Christ's sake. on the T-Pain app saying Caesar with those glasses. It has more has more bars than Will Smith.
Like, conservative rappers have more bars than Will Smith.
Oh god, that's rough. That's really rough.
No. So, anyways, so like that's the song. It's electronic music, but they're rapping over it. It's very repetitive. It's not even like slightly musically. It's super predictable. It's not musically creative in any kind of way. It has a drop. I've literally seen the like visuals that are in the background for like three other performers. So it's like very generic visuals. Clearly, this is wrapped together. Oh, and one last thing. The song's called Lit.
Yeah, Get Lit.
Will Smith is 48 years old. Will Smith, you're a grown-ass man. What are you doing?
Will Smith, you have kids. You have children that are older than people listening to this podcast.
This would be bad if your kids did this. This would be out of touch if your kids were doing this. And I don't know where the fuck your kids are. Like, either, like, physically in space or, like, mentally in their heads. Like, sometimes it's,
I don't
like,
know.
All
that...
over the fucking place, right?
Like, I don't know, like, what's going on with Jaden, but that dude is looks like he's high 24/7 or something. I don't know. He's like, he's in a different universe. Jesus.
Like, Willard Carroll, what are you doing?
That's rough. Yeah, and that's anything? Just one of the worst things I've heard in years. This is worse than Chainsmokers on, like, LSD and getting crossfaded with LSD and some other shit. I don't know. Would you even want to crossfade with that? It is worse than that.
I know. It's interesting. It's very interesting you mentioned the Chainsmokers, Sean.
Oh, no. Oh, no! I just read the... No. Oh,
so,
Christ. I just read
which one of these is not like the other? The Backstreet Boys are going to work with Diplo and the Chainsmokers on a new album. Say what?
I realized I already dropped a young KYS on the other one for changing her name six times. Yeah. I want to do it again, but I've already did my once a month KYS. So
yeah.
I did my quota.
Yeah.
I hit my quota.
Should we call it the rule?
Yeah, Chester Bennington rule.
No! I might have to edit that one out.
Yeah, she really should edit that one out. Please type that in. Like, no. Yes. You might need to edit out my bleep yourself, actually. I don't even know what that was.
I might bleep that, whatever.
Please. Okay, hold on.
Well, we both lost the first Hot Take Island.
we both lost right there.
We're not even through the third story yet.
They need to go away and live their lives in harmony and live happily ever after, but never, ever, 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 ever.
Make a noise.
Make a sound. They need to be mute. They need to be a mime in France with some makeup on. That's the amount of art that they can produce.
Wouldn't it be great if the Chainsmokers retired and became mimes? That'd be poetic.
That'd be amazing. That'd be amazing. If they just somehow became Helen Keller and was like, oh, I can't do anything anymore. I just sit down.
Okay. That's it. I want to, like, summarize this story really fast. So, Backstreet Boys are apparently coming back together. Whether or not it's with Justin Timberland, I don't know.
He's playing golf too much.
Yeah, whether or not any of them has a gut now, we have yet to see. But it'll be fun to get the Backstreet Boys coming together, said no one ever. They did an interview with Entertainment Tonight, and they said that they're aiming for high-profile guests. He's one of the Backstreet Boys, I don't know, all white people look the same to me when they're in boy bands. One of them said Nick's been talking to Steve Aoki, Howie talked to Zedd, who's a big, big fan, and oh, Diplo, we've also talked to Diplo. And then he said, we've done stuff with the Chainsmokers. Quote, we've done stuff with the Chainsmokers, and those guys are amazing, and out in Vegas with a residency as well, so who knows?
Yeah.
The Chainsmokers.
Like, This thing needs to end.
The now. Worst thing to happen to the United States in 2016 was the Chainsmokers.
Easily the Chainsmokers. Easily.
Like,
other than, you know, no money.
Closer being played is more of a significant event to happen in the United States constantly than our president. That has nothing to do with anything.
Then the Democratic Party is stealing the election from Bernie Sanders, but hashtag no politics. The neoliberals thinking that they're cool and reaching out to millennials. Hashtag no politics.
This anyways, segment's been brought to you by the Kaiser Report.
Oh, man, dude. Seriously. Get in Ethereum now. You might be rich.
It's a horrible idea.
It's a joke. Don't get Ethereum.
Please do not.
Bitcoin, maybe. Ethereum, no. Double gold, never again.
You got to make your own cryptocurrency and then start getting millennial saps and start investing in that.
Can I call our cryptocurrency Audio Wars? Like, can that be a cryptocurrency?
No, we have to call it... We need to call it, like, Alpha Coin.
Yeah, that's it. That's I'm going to go right now and Google how the fuck to make a cryptocurrency, and then we'll talk to my cousin who's a mortgage broker. She's a stockbroker, and I will make my own currency called Alpha Coin.
It'd be the ultimate scam if we made a Patreon page and had people donate in our currency to our page, and that's how we got our money.
You shouldn't say that out loud, because now I think someone's going to do that.
It's okay. That wouldn't be any worse of a scam than the fact that Backstreet Boys are still fucking making music.
JT is one thing, because he actually has a voice and is really
Justin
cool.
Justin Timberland.
Like, he's made albums, and like, he's cool, and he's a better golfer than I am, so I fucks with him. Ooh. And, yeah. The rest of them can go away forever. And if you wear sunglasses on stage and you don't have an eye impediment, yeah, just stop.
I'll give sunglasses on stage. That's fine. It's
a joke. I hate that. But when everybody else is not wearing them, and then you're the one asshole with it, you probably drive like a 6 Series BMW that's all murdered out, and you think you're cool, going 85 in the 405.
No, we're talking about Corvette guy in a boy band.
That is Corvette guy in a boy band. Yeah, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. Large bank account syndrome.
So we made it out of
I don't want to talk about it anymore, because it just pisses me off right now, and I'm going to say things I'm going to regret later on. So let's get out of that.
Who are doing great stuff.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah, great work. I'm sure if I just like plug my headphones into dog shit, it would sound great too, but like anyways, last story. Apparently, there's a study that says that going to concerts can improve your happiness or your satisfaction, overall your like social well-being.
And I agree, actually.
Yeah, it's from Sage Journal, The Psychology of Music, apparently. And it talks about like the music engagement and well-being. It's a place out of Australia. And they surveyed 1,000 Australians from Deakin University in Victoria. And they kind of figured out, like, what's the deal? Does going to concerts really make for a better life, I guess? And regularly listening to music alone, what they found, didn't have the same effect on social well-being. So it's, I mean, part of this is just, like, obviously hanging out with people is probably going to be more fun, especially when it's something like music, which we, like, really hold together and like associate with, like, music's a personal thing. It's something we have preferences and opinions on, and so being able to go to a place where people like the same band you like more or less and celebrate with those people, or even go yourself or have this like experience. I mean, we've talked about live concerts, like, for better and for worse at length, but I mean, duh, I imagine it's the same reason, or like similar reason, people go to church, because you're going there with like-minded people enjoy being around for an event that everyone's there for. I mean, exactly. It's like football almost, like, of course.
Yeah. It's just a pretty simple thing, yeah. It's a good thing. That's pretty much, I mean, not much to say, because we had a super lengthy conversation at concerts the other day, but I'm glad that they put that out, because it's, yeah, I agree 100%. It's pretty
cool.
Yeah,
I want to say episode 12 or 13 that we did was the car cast, where we were just in our cars talking, in my car, talking about, like, live concerts and things. Oh, and a little update to that. The awkward moment when, like, I've figured out my concert, like, set list for the semester, like, what I'm going to. I'm going to end up seeing a lot of people twice.
Interesting. We'll have a conversation on that, too.
Yeah, we'll revisit that and see how I feel, but... yeah, if you're feeling a little down from all the horrible things in the world, just remember, the music, still more or less, not that bad, and maybe going to a concert will make you happier. Yeah. Knowledge. Dropping it. All right. It is really steamy, and all I've been doing is podcasting in my room, so it's probably time to wrap this up. But
yeah, it is.
Yeah, and life is busy. We've got shit to do. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
That, Sean, where can the folks find you?
SW Suarez on Twitters and the Instagrams. And that's it.
Yes, and you am at Dan from the Web on Twitter and Dan from the Internet on Instagram. Be sure to follow both for like all the stuff that we're doing. Don't forget to check out Caesar and Bam on the We Made It podcast. They're doing a bunch of cool things with like podcast engagement interaction, and as well as just like talking about soccer. So definitely check that out when you can. New episodes drop on Wednesdays.
I believe or sometimes Thursdays.
Yeah, but yeah, definitely check that out if you aren't already. Keep spreading the word about the show. Like, y'all are our marketing department, and y'all have been doing very well. If any of us were getting paid, we would work that out. But keep telling people about the show. Keep like rating it wherever you rate it. Really, word of mouth. The more we can do this, the better. So thank y'all again.
Yeah, cheers.